one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, what
do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Binge. Joining me on the show, we have Shelton J.
What's happening, man? What's going on with you?
Nothing much going on with me, but a lot going on with James Harden.
Man.
Manny just sent me a text, so he's about to jump on. So he'll be joining us any second now. So it'll be a bit of a skeleton crew tonight. As you guys know, we're doing a full NBA show tomorrow with the full crew, and we'll definitely get into all of this a little bit more in depth tomorrow when we have FIFO, Nick B on to discuss the blockbuster, I guess that's what we want to call it, blockbuster trade that took place tonight. But this was such a huge trade and something that's been bubbling up for quite a while, and it just kind of finally reached a breaking point last night when James Harden quit basically on his team. That they basically got rid of him. You know, they told him not to come. So a lot happened. So let me just kind of go through what we have so far. So last night after the game, James Harden basically said he criticized the team. He said they're not good enough. So here's, if you haven't heard it, here are his words. We are just not good enough. Chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. They are a veteran team, a championship team, and one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I've literally done everything I can. The situation is crazy. It's something that I don't think it can be fit, so thanks. After he said all of that, the Rockets basically told him not to come to work, and they started working on a trade. And then some other guys started to let their feelings be known. John Wall said that we're only 9 games into the season, so come on. And DeMarcus Cousins, you all know he's not going to hold his mouth, said that, you know, James Harden's comments were disrespectful. So there's that backstory. Now let's get into the deal. So James Harden was traded to the Nets. And in addition to that, they get a second-round pick. The Rockets get Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, Rhodium Scurox, if I said it correctly, and 4 first-round picks and 4 pick swaps. I believe the first-round picks are unprotected. The Cavs were involved. The Pacers were involved. So the Cavs got Jared Allen, Taurean Prince, and the Pacers got Caris LeVert and the second-round pick. So that was a lot. Most of you guys watching may have already known all of this anyway, but I still wanted to go into the details of that. So I'm going to just turn it over to the panel. Shelton, man, what's your reaction? What was your reaction when you saw the news?
I was shocked, but not shocked. I was shocked by how much they got from the Hall form, but I guess that's the standard rate when judging from trades going for from past recently. Because who was the last 2 trades to go like this where they got real big deals like this?
Okay, I think Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis Davis. The latest one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was one. Who did OKC? OKC got a nice little haul for Paul George too, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They did.
Yeah, so that was like 4, I think 4 first rounders or something crazy like that too. I'm not shocked to see him go because the writing was on the wall. This man's been asking to get rid. He's been a cancer for a while. Now that we see John Wall is can still play and is returning to form, I think it's a win for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you secured your future a little bit better. You didn't walk away empty-handed from it. And your chemistry can't do anything but improve at this point. And Oladipo is a really nice piece to go next to John Wall if he's healthy. You know what I'm saying? So you lose something from losing a James Harden, but you don't lose that much because the team was, what, 3-6 or something like that?
Yeah. So I mean, we can verify, but they weren't good.
Right. So if nothing else, you've gained a little bit, you know what I'm saying, going forward. So I ain't mad at him I ain't mad at them at all. I'm a little shocked on the Brooklyn side. Well, not shocked. I'm just saying I'm relieved because as a Philadelphia Sixers fan, I was hoping that they wouldn't bite the bullet and give up everything and mortgage the future to bring in James Harden. So I'm kind of relieved that Philly didn't do it. But on the Nets side, I'm not shocked, but I am kind of shocked that they would give up so much. They had a nice little rotation, man, and losing Spencer Dinwiddie did hurt this year. But even beyond that, you still had two top-tier talents. Even though the Kyrie thing, that's going to be the kicker anyway, because we don't know what Kyrie is going to do at this point. So, you know, going forward, we just got to see what's going to happen and how this is going to play out. But I don't know how this is going to work, man. I just don't know. It's not enough basketballs. So we just have to see.
Yeah, Manny.
You're on mute, Manny.
How about now? You hear me? I mean, kind of similar to everybody's reaction, I guess. It was, I mean, not shocked because obviously this has been in the works for, you know, weeks now, but it just finally like came to fruition. It finally happened. They finally pulled the trigger. I guess James Harden did enough to finally get himself fired or traded or kicked out of Houston, whatever, you know, adjective you want to use. And I'm sure we'll get to like what we think going forward, man. But I just think, I think the biggest thing for me is, like Shelton said, the return that Houston got, I thought, wow, that was actually a pretty decent return. I mean, Houston's playing for another day. I don't think they're playing for a championship now, obviously. But they still got a decent team. They got a decent roster. They got players, most importantly. And then the haul of picks that they got, we'll see what that happens. We'll see what that becomes down the line. But the biggest thing for me is the Nets going all in on dysfunction. Like, they are all in on dysfunction. Yeah, we always talk about teams. I mean, we always talk about NBA teams and just teams in general in every sport, right? You got to be all in. Either you're all in or you're all out. The Nets are all in dysfunction, but they're all in. So I give them credit. And even Cleveland and Indiana, you know, they came away with some pieces too. I mean, Jared Allen to Cleveland, that's a good piece. It's kind of a redundant piece. I mean, basically a younger Drummond. So, maybe that's a piece for the future. Maybe Drummond's out of there, or maybe they could flip Drummond for something else at the trade deadline. And then I really like Caris LeVert going to Indy, though. Like, I think that's a quiet, underrated move. That's a good building block. Oladipo, for whatever reason, just wasn't going to stay there long term. And honestly, like, to me, Caris LeVert is he's probably not as good as Victor Oladipo is right now, and that's even debatable. But I would argue he has the opportunity to be just as good, if not better, than Victor Oladipo in a year or two. So to me, at most you could argue you got better in that position. So it's a good move for Indy, man. Indy's one of those franchises that just got to shoot for the fences and throw some things against the wall and see what sticks. You know what I mean? You're not having free agents line up to go to Indianapolis, right? So they got to try something. So I even think Indiana came away looking pretty good. If I had to rank a winner, I think Houston won the trade. I think Houston wins by default because they got rid of a cancer. They got addition by subtraction, in my opinion. So I would just give it to Houston.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Oladipo and Caris LeVert, they're essentially the same player, you know, if I had to look at them, you know, but yeah,
I would say LeVert has more upside because he's bigger, he's stronger, you know, he's younger. Healthier. He's still coming into his own. Yeah, I mean, so LeVert, I would argue LeVert has even way more upside than Oladipo. So,
yeah, I agree. I think once they sent James Harden home, Once he basically called out the team, as everybody knew, a lot of people in the chat, this was inevitable. It happened a lot quicker than I thought. And, you know, some sports pundits were saying that Harden had all the leverage and because of his actions, it depressed, you know, his value. And we learned that not to be true. I think that when you look at Cleveland and Indy, my guess is that's a favor, you know, for somebody else to kind of jump in here to kind of make the deal work. And maybe they were looking to add a piece here or there, because we knew Victor Oladipo wasn't happy in Indy anyway and wasn't planning on staying. But when you look at the Rockets, when you look at the things that we heard about him halfway playing, the team not liking some of the things he's doing, which DeMarcus Cousins has expressed, you know, they had to get rid of him. And my concern are the four picks. And I think it's a pick every year moving forward. I don't have all of those details. I can try to find out, but we know this year and next year, the picks may not be that good. But I also saw that that three of these players, Harden, KD, and Irvin, have player options or their contracts expire, so they can bounce, and the Nets can be trash again. And those two first-round picks could end up being very valuable. It reminds me of Paul Pierce, Garnett, et cetera, that happened back in the day. But for now, the immediate future, it seems like if they can come together, the Nets could be a potential problem. So how do you guys see this thing playing out given Kyrie's situation now?
I honestly, what are the Nets right now? Like, I mean, I don't know what they are. I mean, I don't know anybody. I was on a podcast earlier. Shout out to my man Jarvis in the Gray Area. Check that out. That's dropping soon. But I was on a podcast and I said the same thing. I'm like, do we know what the Nets are right now? Like, are you willing to go bet your life fortune in Vegas that you know what the Nets are? Like, we don't even know if Kyrie's playing. Is he playing today? Is he playing tomorrow? Is he playing in a week? Is he retired? I don't know. James Harden is out here looking like he cosplaying Mark Henry, WWE fame. What is this team? KD is still kind of working himself back in. I mean, we all know he's still great. But, you know, even KD's still working himself back into, you know, he's not even playing back-to-backs right now. So, like, what are the Nets? And they've significantly weakened their depth. Like, one of the underrated aspects of the Nets were the depth, right? Like, Spencer Dinwiddie gets hurt. Caris LeVert is now gone. You know, you've traded away Jared Allen. Like, now their depth is severely compromised. Like, what's their bench look like? Like, this, you know, Twitter and the NBA sphere just blows up because obviously they get attracted to the names, right? The sexy names. Oh my God, Harden's in Brooklyn. But like, that team is, yes, they've got Harden. And if everything breaks right, of course they have the talent to perform and peak at a high level. But I just don't know what that team is right now. Like, does Kyrie want to play basketball? What is James Harden? Like, what is James Harden right now? James Harden is overweight and unhappy and disgruntled. Like, that's a bad recipe going to a team full of volatile personalities. Like, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe you and Shelton feel better than I do about it, but I don't know. I'm not willing to go to Vegas and bet on it.
I don't feel good about it either. And I'm not saying it won't work out, because when you got talent like that, you got top 10 talent in all three of those players. Now, if it comes together and works, I wouldn't be surprised. It could. Like we said, we just don't know. Kyrie's the unknown. We don't know what his mindset is right now. You got three volatile headcase personalities in one bubble. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just hard to say. It could either mix like a perfect soup or it could blow up. You know what I'm saying? It's just the unknown. And you add into the fact you got a rookie coach that's never even coached basketball before. And what do you get? You know what I'm saying? So we really don't know. And time will tell. When Kyrie gets back, then we can kind of see what we're working with a little bit better. But there's no telling with this team. They're winning tonight, though, but that doesn't say much. You know, they're playing the Knicks. But I just don't know, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what this is. But back to your point earlier, I do agree with you about the Pacers, though. The Pacers made out like some big dogs, because LeVert, to me, is an upgrade from Oladipo. Because he is younger, he's more colorful in a sense. And that's something that team needs. You know, you got Malcolm Brogdon, who's kind of laid back, but he's coming into his own. You got Sabonis, who's kind of laid back. That you needed somebody with some fire. And it that's the guy to kind of stir the pot for that team. But as far as Brooklyn goes, I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be a great movie.
And before Ken says something, like, the NBA – Sometimes I don't pay attention too much to picks, because it's not like the NFL where you're getting value with the 30th pick in the draft. I mean, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. The NBA draft is not as deep year per year as, say, an NFL draft is. So sometimes the picks sometimes get a little too much hype. I mean, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's hard to assess what the Rockets got back. Like, we'll know what the Rockets got back in 2025, 2026. That's when we'll really know who ultimately won the trade. I mean, I feel like if the Nets win a championship, then it was a healthy gamble. If they implode and the Rockets, you know, I don't know, but one of those damn picks ends up with the next LeBron or something, I don't know. Like, then they clearly made out like thieves in the night.
Yes. Well, here are the picks that the Rockets get. So I found the details on that. So as I mentioned, they were unprotected, but I got the years. So it's 2022, 2024, and 2026 because they can't trade picks back to back. First round picks in back-to-back years. And then in the deal, the pick swaps are in 2021, 23, 25, and 27. And then Cleveland's 2022 first round pick, they get via the Milwaukee Bucks. So they got a lot. I think it's a great, great situation for Houston to be in, to rebuild.
Is that Cleveland pick a lottery protected?
It does not say. Actually, yeah, it doesn't say.
I don't think so, though.
We'll have that information by tomorrow. But Shelton, as you mentioned earlier, the Paul George trade set the standard. And, you know, that's why the Rockets, you know, got the haul that they got. And I guess they ultimately ended up selling them for picks instead of players. Because, you know, everything being reported was that they were asking for a lot, sometimes too much. But either way, when I look at, you know, Indiana, I do like Caris LeVert a lot. I'm sure he'll be happy, you know, as a Pacer now. We know Oladipo would definitely be happy. Jared Allen and Taurean Prince probably, you know, I mean, they're just pieces, right? Dante Exum can't stay healthy. The guy Kurex, I don't think he was getting a lot of time. I really got to find out how to say his name. But who?
No, I said he wasn't.
Yeah, but he's shown, you know, some ability when I've seen him play. He was just really, really inconsistent. But, you know, when it comes to the Nets, I got to watch them play. They all three are ball dominant. This is not like the Warriors where everybody had a different type of skill set where it worked. And we don't know what's going on with Kyrie. I suspect, pure speculation, pure instant reaction in real time to what's going on, I think that they will trade Kyrie Irving. I think that he is in danger of losing his job or getting shipped out of Brooklyn.
The thing with that, Ken, is, and I feel you and I hear you, and that's an interesting take. Who's touching Kyrie right now? I mean, that is a volatile situation. I know it's easy to say that who's touching James Harden, and we just saw a team give up, you know, every damn thing for him. But even James Harden, like this Kyrie situation is so crazy because it's like you just don't know. Like you just don't know what. Okay, yeah. Let's say, for the sake of this discussion, the Lakers trade for him. A, what are you giving up for him? With his value being what it is right now. And do you even know if he's going to play for you?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I make this trade, and then 2 days later, he goes MIA again. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you a GM, that's a huge risk to take, man.
It is. I think it is. And you're right. And I think what he's doing is really, really hurting his career. I think Stephen A. Smith reported that nobody, to your point, man, he wanted to even touch him. And they were saying that if he keeps this up, he's going to be in danger of being pretty much out of the league. And they have ways of voiding the contracts. And the other thing that I saw was that he and KD aren't really on the best of terms right now. So that situation. So I think just kind of hearing that report before the trade almost sort of explains the trade a little bit for me because it gives the Nets a little bit more flexibility and options on what to do with Kyrie now. Because, you know, Stephen A. Smith has also said that the only reason he's in Brooklyn is because of KD. So they didn't even want Kyrie. So he's an unwanted asset that they acquired to please this other guy. Harden wanted to play with Durant, and I think Durant and Harden are still boys. So if he got another guy that wants to be there, that want to play with him, that's a little bit more invested in the game, then, you know, that makes Kyrie expendable. So we'll see. We'll see.
Who do you think they, if, Ken, if they traded him, who would they trade him for? And where would you think?
I'm not really good at that. I think it, I don't know, man.
It would have to be a salary dump. It would honestly have to be a salary dump. Like, they would literally just have to take back somebody's just terrible contract. It would be almost a Russell Westbrook trade, where you're just literally trading your headache for my headache.
And maybe they sent him to Washington because, and I'm just playing into the Twitter sphere for a second, because they were kind of saying, oh, we need to get Westbrook back on the squad to reunite the old Thunder, which was fun. Just seeing them talk about that. But that's highly unlikely to happen. But that would be fun to see that happen. But you know, and I see people in the chat saying he's coming back. Yeah, he's going to come back. We know eventually he's going to come back, but will he stay? And will he stay in a frame of mind to where basketball is his sole focus? And I'm not judging Kyrie or his actions at all. I'm just going by what the activity of what we're seeing, you know, out there. And, you know, he's a public figure and he's going to be scrutinized and judged. So he's entitled to do whatever he wants. But, you know, we got to judge him on what he's doing as well. So and that's on him.
Can we talk about that? Like, this idea that you're not supposed to judge this dude because of what he's doing. Like, what? Like, where did this come from? Like, this dude is an employee of the Brooklyn Nets, and literally has gone AWOL. Like, literally, he's just like, yeah, I'm not coming into work. Didn't call, no show. He didn't talk to his coach. He didn't talk to KD from it. I believe what you want to believe. I know they're just sources and rumors, whatever. But let's just take that on face value. He hasn't talked to his coach. He hasn't talked to his other supposed best friend on the team, star, the reason why he's there. He hasn't talked to the owner. Hasn't talked to the GM. His agent hasn't even put out anything. Like, this dude literally just decided one day, hey, I ain't showing up. Like, what? Like, and we're not supposed to criticize it? Like, we're supposed to give him a pass because he donated a bunch of money to the WNBA? Like, two things can be correct, right? Like, yes, you could do a lot of great things, and Kyrie, credit to him, he's doing a lot of great things. He's putting money where his mouth is, and he's doing a lot of things to make our people better and getting involved in causes that help our people get better. You could say that, and in the same vein say, damn, bro, you fucking up. You handled this situation poorly. Why is that wrong? Why can't two things independently be okay?
I mean, I don't think it's wrong. You know,
I had to get that off my chest because I kept reading it all day. Like, oh, well, y'all just criticizing Kyrie on the negative. Motherfucker, this isn't one game that he missed randomly. Like, this he's missed how many games?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's Kyrie. He's doing this shit, not us.
Right.
Exactly. Like, so we're supposed to shut up because to make him look okay, I guess. Like, what, I just don't understand people, man. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, I really would like to know what's going through his head at this point. I would love to know what he's thinking and what the cause of it is. Like, what is he upset about? What is he not feeling right now? Also, I want to know what KD is thinking about. I'm sure they talked to him before making this trade, but
he's letting other people tell his story. Like, that's the problem. Kyrie is not saying anything. So you are letting the media dictate the narrative. Right. And then my biggest problem is that then he's the one to come back and say, well, y'all said this about me and y'all painted me in this light and I would never. So you can't get mad at the narrative that other people painted when you didn't say anything. So you helped create the narrative by going ghost and not saying anything to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it's mind boggling to me. But as bad as Kyrie is, man, the James Harden thing is a disgrace. Like, let's be fair. Let's call it like we see it, yo. What this dude did, I honestly feel like, in a way, he's getting a pass.
We'll be back after this quick break.
Pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town.
Ghost Town is me, Rebecca Lieb.
And me, Jason Horton.
and we explore all kinds of weird history,
true crime,
hauntings,
paranormal events, and more.
We cover the Slender Man stabbing, Tesla's death ray, the D.B. Cooper copycat, the cheerleader murder plot,
Heaven's Gate, the Lars Mid-Tank mystery, and Tuesday's Child, Ellie's first satanic magazine, just to name a few.
You can find Ghost Town on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like,
yeah,
how is anybody, like, bro, like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, and I know on the show we try to be pro brother, but how, like, how can you, like, I don't care how pro brother, I mean, you can have a fucking Black Panther flag in your house. Like, bro, you can't excuse this. Like, you can't, like, this man literally just threw his entire franchise under the bus. Was like, yo, I don't want to play with y'all no more. Like, y'all are bums. Like, all but said it in a press conference. Like, come on, man, you can't excuse that. And then this is a guy that I'm going to try to build my franchise around now. If I'm Brooklyn, man, good luck. Good luck.
He did get a pass for, you know, his antics. They just basically were reporting on it, but very few people ripped him for it the way that have ripped other athletes in the past. And I don't know if James Harden built up some type of equity with the media or something like that, but this guy was literally out partying while his teammates were playing. He was,
you know what I think out. It is? Mm-hmm. I think that people don't have respect for James Harden. I think like the media kind of feels like he is a clown and he's always been a clown. So I think that this is just like on brand with James Harden. Like, that's what I feel it is. Like, I feel like, oh, well, he's a clown. What did you expect? Like, oh, we all kind of knew he was a clown. So that's why I think he's maybe getting a pass. Like, I don't understand it, bro, because I think Kyrie's getting more heat.
Yeah,
but Kyrie has done more than
James Harden.
Right.
James Harden doesn't have a history of this.
And that's true. Plus, he's also, you can't excuse the fact that Kyrie's in New York, in the New York market, and, you know, Houston's not the same. They're worried about Deshaun Watson. They ain't worried about James Harden right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think that also applies here. But, yo, the fact that this dude is literally getting a pass. Like, we talk about, like, I watched SportsCenter like a couple weeks ago. Like, yeah, James Harden didn't show up for practice and he was out rapping with rappers, DaBaby. And yeah, now it's on to tennis. Like, what? Like, so they just like, just gonna breeze through that like nothing? Like, yeah, that's crazy to me, man.
You think he's getting past Shelton? Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say he does, but that seems to be the new wave. It seems to be the, like, I look back to when Jimmy Butler left Minnesota. You know, he kind of screamed his head off about getting me out of here and starting fights with teammates and, you know, just doing things to be a distraction to get gone. I guess that's the new way of forcing your way out of town. You know, just let me do whatever I want to do just so they can see I'm going to do it. So they can say, we got to get this guy out of here. And it worked. I mean,
yeah.
What more can you say? I think that was more ploy and plotting than anything else. It wasn't really like, nothing more,
yeah, but,
nothing less.
But that still got to make you. That still got to make you sick. Like, yo, and this is where I call out our people, bro. Like, imagine if that's, let's switch sports. Imagine if that's Aaron Rodgers, or that's, you know, Drew Brees, or Tom Brady, or Josh Allen, or, you know, whatever, right? Like, then we'd be like, oh, white athletes get the privilege, and that's messed up. Like, we got to keep it 100, man. What these cats are doing, that's not okay, man. Like, you can't. Like, and I'm all for player empowerment. I'm all for cats getting their, you know, having leverage, because we all know for 100 years, owners can cut you, they can spit you, swallow you, do whatever, and not give a damn. So I like that the pendulum has swung a little bit, but you can't even defend this. I don't care how pro player you are, man. You can't defend
this. I don't think that this is a black and white thing, though, man. I don't see it that way. I just see,
no, like, I'm just using it as an example. I just want the consistency. Like, I feel like we should be angry across the board. I don't think it should just be like, oh, we give. And I feel like some of us, sometimes we tend to give because, again, we want to be pro brother, and we all want to be pro brother. But sometimes, like, yo, we just got to call like we see it, bro. Like, I know people on social media, again, with the Cole Kyrie thing, giving him a pass. Like, yo, bro, you can't defend it. You can't defend it. I don't care how much you love. And I love Kyrie.
But I'm trying to think of a white player in it. Well, I'm only comparing the two sports. Like, I mean, I'm only taking from basketball and football. I don't know of a white player who's done this, who's taken criticism.
I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know either. I'm just expressing myself. Like, I'm just saying, like, what if it did happen? Like, I think it would be a bigger story. I think it hurts the league, man. I think it hurts the perception of the league. People already have this perception of the league. Like, players have too much power and it's become a joke and blah, 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 blah. So I think this only plays into that. Like, I think it only just, and you know, hypes up that narrative, whether we like it or not. It only adds to it by the fact that, you know, James Harden, like, think about it. James Harden literally just, like, he made what Jimmy Butler did look like nothing. Like, Jimmy Butler was a model citizen by comparison.
And like, I think that's the problem. When you look at Jimmy, you look at James, and I think they're setting a dangerous precedent. And I think the owners are capitulating to them, unfortunately, because they ultimately have to. But then there is a way to go about doing it. It worked for Anthony Davis. He did it with class, you know, and he managed to get out. And he still showed up to work every day and gave it his all. But he told them that he wanted to leave. So there's a way to go about doing it. And unfortunately, James Harden picked Jimmy Butler's way. But I mean, in terms of a star white athlete, you know, doing this, I mean, we've seen quarterbacks or white people say, I don't want to play for the organization of obviously Eli Manning. Yeah. Yeah. So they've done it in their own way. And that was so far long ago. I can't remember, you know, how that went down, but yeah, I don't like the way they're going about doing this. I think it's dangerous. I think it will threaten the owners and they will find a way to shut all this down. And that's the problem.
The other thing, Ken, like, that's just Kyrie and James Harden and Jimmy Butler, like, you know, super great, arguably great players. But, you know, this isn't LeBron. This isn't Kobe. This isn't, you know, Steph Curry, like superstars, pillars, guys that are like pillars of the league. Like, imagine if Steph Curry decided to do this. Or LeBron, like, I don't get, like, hey, I've been critical of LeBron over the years, but like, LeBron handled it like a damn statesman when he was leaving places compared to what these dudes are doing. Like, these dudes just don't give a fuck. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Like it's just mind boggling to be like, this man literally just did everything. Like, if you could write a book on how to get your way and sabotage your way out of a town, James Harden is Edgar Allan Poe. Like, he's literally written the template and the book on it.
But to be honest, man, I gotta say it was genius if it works, because he did, he got what I'm gonna tell you why. He had exactly what he wanted, and he doesn't have that much dirt on him from it. I mean, yeah, it looks bad to some people, but for the most part, he left with his name intact. And like I said, unless it blows up completely, now if he goes in, it works. Ain't nobody gonna be thinking about how he got out of there. They just gonna look at the fact that he did. Like, nobody looked at Jimmy Butler and saying how he left Minnesota anymore. That's not even a thought, because it worked out for him when he went to Miami. You see what I'm saying? So if it works out in Brooklyn, which is a big gamble, it's going to look fine for James. Nobody's even going to think about it anymore. Also, what saves him as well, Manny, is the fact that now these guys have everybody, including, you know, most of us as fans, looking at owners like they're just the villains. So it's kind of like, they're using that to their advantage. Like, it's the system, man. They holding us back. Like you look at a lot of these guys, that's the kind of mold that they're putting out there, which is smart on their part to use that as their narrative. Because you look at every situation, you think the same thing, man. They messing that franchise up. They messing them up. They wasting his career. That's the same thing that they're playing off. And that's what James Harden is using to get out. That was his scapegoat.
I don't know, Sheldon. To me, that's a little bit of a reach. I get what you're saying. To me, nobody's looking at James Harden as a victim here. Like, James Harden, like, now we're supposed to shed tears that James Harden has been wasted in Houston. I would argue he's let Houston down more than Houston's let him down. They've given him everything he wanted. They've capitulated to his every want. And they gave him Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, when he got tired of Dwight Howard, they got rid of, they shipped him out of town. They brought in Chris Paul. And they gave him Chris Paul. Then he got tired of Chris Paul. Then they shipped him out of town. Then he bought his best friend. All we heard is best friend. Oh, him and Westbrook, they were roommates. They love each other, blah, blah, blah. Their moms are friends and yada, 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 yada. And then what happened? One season later, they can't stand each other, or they don't want to play again with Joe. More so Westbrook than Hart. Who knows? Whatever. The fact is, it didn't work. They ship him out of town. Like, this idea, we got to start disseminating and breaking down this BS. Like, this is narratives. These are narratives that these athletes want to create to give them cover. Like, bro, James Harden is not a victim here. This isn't KG in Minnesota when that man just literally gave his heart, his blood, sweat, and tears to gave it all to have Minnesota try to win, and it just wasn't enough for a lot of reasons, right? This is Houston, a big market that got players to go there, and James Harden was the problem. I think we can all admit James Harden was the problem. They should have beat the Warriors in 2018. He collapsed along with the rest of them. In 2019, they should have beat the Warriors when KD got hurt. He collapsed. He no-showed. But somehow that's Tillman Fertitta's fault? Failing to see where the – and look, I'm not defending the owners because we all know Tillman Fertitta's a moron and a Trump supporter, whatever. But as much as I can't stand him and whatever he does or whatever he represents, the man still is running a business and he has an employee that basically just sabotaged his way out of town. I can't condone that.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. What I'll add though to that last part is that this is a business, and these business owners will look after their investments, and the players are the investment. And absolutely. Once they start sabotaging that, and the Rockets will more than likely end up losing revenue now that Harding is out, their one show is out. You know, they're going to look in the future when it comes to these collective bargaining agreements and try to figure out a way to protect themselves from this in the future. They're not going to say anything now. Yeah, they're not going to say anything now. You're not going to hear anything about it. It's just all this stuff is going to happen in the back door, and then it's going to be on there. And then next thing you know, this type of stuff won't work anymore. That's why I'm saying they're playing a very, very dangerous game that they are not prepared to deal with. So I think we need more, minority owners, black people owners and stuff like that. More players, I think, should own franchises because they understand what it's like as a player, which, you know, that's going to take years to happen. But I'm telling you, if this happens again, these owners, man, they do not play this game.
I think there's going to be a lockout. If this continues, I mean, when's the CBA up? In the next 4 or 5 years or something like that? Because I think they just signed it not too long ago, like a couple years ago. I think it's like a 7-8 year deal. I think so. Let's say in 2028, just for the sake of this discussion, like I really believe if this continues to be the pattern, name the next star, Devin Booker, whoever, right? Like they take this same course of action. Like I think these owners are gonna get fed up. Like there comes a point where you got to stop and say like, all right, now this is getting ridiculous. Now. Like we can't, we just can't be completely just held hostage by these dudes. And the same way we would be saying it if it was the owners you doing it the other way around with the players. I mean, we say it all the time in the NFL, right? Owners have way too much power. They can cut you, release you, do whatever. Like we just got to be consistent, man. We can't give these players a pass because like this idea that, you know, we all want to be pro player. Like this idea that you root for owners. If you knock a player, you're an owner's guy. Like, I don't care. This is billionaires versus millionaires. Like I'm a broke nobody in the Pacific Northwest. Like what do I care if Tillman Fertitta wins or James Harden wins? I'm just calling it like I see it. And it's just not cool, man. You can't do this. You can't do this. Like, this is just it. Like, there goes. Like, if you want to trade, I have no problem if a guy decides, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. If the way James Harden should have done it, have a meeting with the coach, have a meeting with the GM, have a meeting with the owner. Hey, man, I've given y'all 7 years. You know, respectfully, politely, I just want to, I think I want to go somewhere else, you know, for personal reasons, you know, spread my wings, you know, whatever excuse, right? I think I can win somewhere else. You know, let's do it amicably. I'll show up to camp. I'll play. I'll do everything I can because I love this city. I love this organization. You know, why couldn't he do that?
Who's to say he didn't do all that? Who's to say that who's didn't to, happen?
Yeah, right? You're right. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
Who's to say what happened behind closed doors to get us to this point? And I'm not saying, once again, let me clarify. I'm not excusing what he did. I don't agree either. But at the same time, I'm a person who, as a businessman myself, I know that sometimes you got to take that tactic by any means necessary to get where you're trying to be. Now, looking forward for the next person, they might can't pull that move and get away with it. But he did. And once again, he still can come out of this smelling like roses if he wins. So, in a sense, he did it for himself. He wasn't thinking about the next man. He wasn't thinking about the people before him. He was thinking about himself. I want out. Whatever I got to do to get out, I'm going to do. Now, did he do the right thing? No, not necessarily. But it was the right thing for him. And I don't, like I said, I don't agree. I don't condone it. But at the same time, I mean, we know owners pull these hardcore tactic moves sometimes too. They do some things that are kind of shady, you know, cutting people and doing things the way they want to do it. So he just used his power and authority that he's earned through his play. That's all he did. And he got what he wanted. Bottom line,
he did.
If it was that bad, they wouldn't have picked, wouldn't nobody have traded for him. And he just looked like a fool and been out of the league. That ain't happened. So he worked his way to a position to where he could force a trade. And that's what it boils down to. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. But at the same time, he got off light. You're absolutely right. He did get off light.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think the NBA season just got a little bit more interesting with him going to Brooklyn, especially with Kyrie's antics, with him showing out the way he is. And I'm looking forward to it. I think Brooklyn is going to be a highly combustible situation. I really want to see Caris LeVert unleashed in Indy. I think that's going to be exciting.
Yeah,
I think
he's
somewhat been held back there. And see, I ain't going to see what they're doing with them guys in Cleveland at all. But but nevertheless, man, I'm just here for the show. And that's it.
In on dysfunction, man. All in on dysfunction. That's how I call it.
It gives us something to talk about, right? So, but anyway, thank you, guys.
I just
want to
be a fly on the wall.
Man,
hey, before we go, man, what are your predictions for Brooklyn this year?
Like playoff predictions?
Yeah, how far are they going to go?
Second round.
Same here. Second round. I don't know what that team is right now. I mean, even if Kyrie comes back, you got to believe it's going to take some time to incorporate Harden. And the biggest thing, and I know we're going to wrap it up, but just the biggest thing, who's going to make the, like, let's say they all come back tomorrow, right? They all come in, they all are on board to play for the rest of the season. Who takes the sacrifice? Like, who changes their game? Who sacrifices? Like, every big three that we've ever seen, maybe other than maybe the Warriors, because that was such a unique situation. Every big team, super team, big three, whatever you want to call it, somebody had to sacrifice. Somebody had to change the way they play. Who's going to be the guy that says, you know what, I don't have to score 25 points. I can score 18, but maybe I'll grab a couple rebounds. I'll be the play initiator. I'll do the dirty work. I'll do the little things. Like, who's going to be that guy? Is it going to be Kyrie? I don't know. He's never been the guy to do that. James? I don't know. KD? Like, yeah, that's what I'm interested to see. Who's going to be the guy that takes a step back and says, you know what, for the betterment of the team, I'm going to change my game.
I know it'll work out for James because, he don't like taking those last minute shots. What you got, Shelton?
Right.
He don't want the pressure. James don't want the pressure. No.
Right. I was going to say in the fourth quarter is going to be KD's team. Second and third will be James Harden. First quarter will be Kyrie. That's how they should break it down, basically.
Yeah.
KD gonna think it's his team, but Kyrie gonna be running around taking the shot like it's his. And I think it's no coincidence. Like, it's just no coincidence that he's on his way back now after this trade. So if what they're saying is true, so we'll see. Thank you guys. We just wanted to jump on here. If you guys watched yesterday's show, Manny, probably will not be able to join us because of, his spending surgery, which he's already revealed publicly. So I definitely wanted to get your thoughts on here about this. It was such a big deal. And I was really curious to hear your reaction to it. But check us out tomorrow, man. We'll have the full crew here. And, a lot more news will be out. So we have a lot more information to go along into what we discuss here. And of course, we'll get into more of the gameplay, the styles, how everything is going to work, as well on the court, and more. So we got about four big stories to cover. Rona, this, it was something else, Kyrie. So it's going to be a hell of a show. So, tune in tomorrow, 9:15. And thank you guys for showing up tonight. Please subscribe to the show and share it with others. And
please, we'll share. Please share.
Yep.
Please share. Please.
Today's episode of Waveform is brought to you by AT&T 5G. We expect a lot from our technology these days. It needs to be fast, reliable, secure, and nationwide. So just like Usain Bolt is the quickest runner on the planet, AT&T 5G is fast. Just like Mac the dog, who's always there and happy to see me, AT&T 5G is reliable. And just like the locks on my home, AT&T 5G is secure. So fast, reliable, secure, and nationwide. That's AT&T 5G. It's not complicated. 5G requires compatible plan, may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.